People who survived life under ISIS are offering details of an attempted genocide. When ISIS controlled much of Syria and Iraq, it targeted a religious minority known as Yazidis. Those who were not simply killed are now recounting what they endured. Children were trained as ISIS fighters, and women were held as sex slaves for years. They shared their stories with NPR's Jana Reff.
Mazen arrived home from captivity last week to crowds chanting his name. He's only 13 and part of the small Yazidi community ISIS tried to wipe out. The video was circulated on Facebook. Each person rescued is a treasure. 3 days later, I meet him in the Kurdistan region of Iraq, in a camp for Yazidis displaced from their home region of Sinjar. Mazen sits in a tent dressed in a gray hoodie. He has huge eyes and a face still gaunt from not getting enough to eat. He's survived gunfire and airstrikes. Mazen was kidnapped when he was 8, and he's forgotten a lot of the Yazidi language. Instead, he speaks to me in Arabic, the language of his captors. We're using only the first names of the freed Yazidis. I ask Mazen how he feels, and he says he doesn't know. But he knows what ISIS taught him.
They taught me weapons in the Quran, belief, and things like that.
What kind of weapons?
Kalashnikov, UBKC.
Light weapons, he says. They were supposed to use them to kill Yazidis. Mazen is a boy, but he speaks like he's used to being listened to. ISIS taught him how to drive, and he's demanding a car so he can take his mother and brother back to their village. But their home is destroyed, and they have no money. He's learned a few words of English from one of the foreign ISIS fighters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Mazen's father is still missing. The family is desperately poor, but Mazen's uncle, Hussein, says they'll try to help him be a normal boy again.
You can't change someone who has been captive in just 3 days. Our goal is we will take him on picnics, we will take him to weddings, we will make him forget the Arabic language.
While we talk, a Yazidi man comes in to show him photos of other children still missing. Mazen has already told relatives of two other children he was held with that they were killed in U.S.-led airstrikes recently in the town of Baghouz. He flips through the photos impatiently. He says he hasn't seen them. In a cafe a few miles away, I talk to the man with the photos. He's Issa Shawardi from the village of Kujo, the site of one of the worst massacres under ISIS. Men were rounded up and shot, the younger women kidnapped as sex slaves. Almost 3,000 Yazidis are still missing. Shawardi's photos are faded. They're 5 years old, and it would be hard to recognize the children now. He tells me their names.
Av Halala, Av Salara.
They include his nephews and nieces and cousins. Some they know are dead, but he's holding out hope for the three youngest.
There were many children who were so young when they took them, they don't know who they are anymore. We are sure there are many of our people in the camps in Syria. We ask the government to help us find them.
But the government hasn't been helping to find them. That's been left mostly to smugglers, Yazidis and others who have rescued women and children or paid ransom to buy them back. One of Shawardi's photos is of a 25-year-old woman held with her children in Deir ez-Zor in Syria. Relatives were close to buying their freedom for $30,000 before U.S.-backed forces targeted ISIS there.
Then they attacked Deir ez-Zor, and now they're missing. No one knows where they are. There were many airstrikes, and many people died.
In the nearby city of Dohuk, I meet Ali Hussein, a Yazidi who has negotiated with ISIS to buy back about 40 women and children. Hussein is a schoolteacher who was once held by ISIS and maintained contact with ISIS fighters. He plays me messages he received about an 11-year-old girl about a year ago. His ISIS contact tells him the little girl was sold to an emir of an al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria, Jabhat al-Nusra, that she's no longer a virgin.
I told you $45,000 from the beginning. I know what they pay in Raqqa. I told you in Turkey they would pay $60,000 or $70,000 and take out the girl's organs, but I don't want to do that.
The ISIS contact continues as if she's a used car for sale.
Dear Mr. Ali, Think about this matter, and let me know by evening if you don't want her.
Hossein and the girl's family weren't able to raise that much money. She disappeared. With others, he's been more successful. That's Jolene, who's 10, telling him a few days ago that she had been freed and would come back from Syria when the border was opened. She's with a 14-year-old friend who had been sold among Iraqi, Syrian, Saudi, and Tunisian fighters since she was 10. Hossein says ISIS, as it was reduced to its last shred of territory, stopped selling Yazidis to keep them as hostages. He believes only a few hundred of the thousands still missing will be found in Syria.
Many have been taken to Turkey, many have been killed in airstrikes in Raqqa and Mosul, and many are still hidden with ISIS families in Iraq.
We go to one of the shrines on Sinjar Mountain, where Yazidis took refuge 5 years ago. Berfey, who's 26, escaped and came back from Syria just a day ago with her two small children. Berfey's husband was executed, and she was sold as a slave 5 times.
Some girls would be sold 30 times or 50 times. Some would be sold for only 1 hour.
The Yazidi women were raped by the men and often beaten by the Arab and foreign wives of ISIS fighters. After 5 years of horror, Berfey says she thought she would never see Sinjar again. She says, "I feel like a newborn baby." Jane Araf, NPR News, in Sinjar, northern Iraq.